From WHYY and Billy Penn, it is hitting season. Hey there, podcast pals. I'm John Stolness from The Good Fight and Billy Penn. You can follow me on Twitter at John Stolness. Coming up, we are just a few days away from opening day, and the Phillies roster appears to be set for when the team takes the field at Citizens Bank Park against the Atlanta Braves with some moves made over the weekend. The Phillies also extended a key member of the team, getting some housekeeping out of the way for 2025 as well. So we'll let you know some of the moves the team made, including also a trade over the weekend that was kind of surprising. So lots of details to get you ready for opening day coming up here on Thursday. And Justin and Liz and I will be doing our big 2024 Major League Baseball Phillies preview episode. We'll record that on Tuesday night this week and have that ready for you on Wednesday. So this is just kind of an appetizer for that podcast, which is going to be coming up in a couple of days. But wanted to get you caught up on all the news from over the course of the weekend, because lots of important things were going down during the course of the weekend. While you may have been, I was out hiking on Saturday and Sunday. So I got back to my car on Sunday afternoon and took a look at all these different messages and realized we had some things to catch up on. The Phillies opening day roster, as I mentioned, is likely set. We know who the 26 players are going to be. Unless, of course, the Phillies make a move over the next couple of days before opening day begins. But as of right, and it's not official. They haven't announced that this is the official 26-man roster, but it looks as though the questions that we had over the final couple of bullpen spots and what the Phillies were going to do in the outfield, it looks as though those questions have been answered. The big question that was emerging during the course of spring training was whether or not Johan Rojas would make the team. We argued about it on this podcast. I think Justin and Liz and I were both of the opinion that given some of the things that he was working on offensively, that it might have made more sense for him to start the season in Lehigh Valley. The Phillies, who are, I would imagine, smarter than we are, have decided to go in the other direction. Johan Rojas has made the team. He will be on the opening day roster. Rob Thompson said that he is improving. And that, quote, for me, it's as long as he doesn't get buried, we're a better team with him on the club. We are, just because of the defense. And I think that's an important thing to note. If he doesn't get buried, if he doesn't start the season in a 2-for-45 funk that is affecting his defense, or it seems to be sapping his confidence level, then you can live with a guy at the bottom of the lineup who's hitting 230, 240. I think the Phillies would love if he hit 250 and even had a 300 on base percentage. I mean, I think that would be for a number nine hitter who gives them the kind of defense he gives them with the rest of the offense the way it is. I think they would be happy with that. I think if he can clear that bar, then this kind of a move makes sense, and hope that he improves as the year moves along. But they don't want him to get buried. They don't want him to lose confidence. And you could argue that sending him down to AAA to start the season would be a confidence-killing move. I was of the opinion that if sending him down to AAA allowed him to work on the mechanics of these changes that the Phillies want him to do, then that might be better for all concerned. But the Phillies decided that his defense is elite enough that he should be on the big league roster, and he will be the opening day center fielder. He will be the starter on opening day. Make no mistake about that. He's going to start in center field pretty much every game. Make no doubt about that. He wouldn't be on this team unless he was going to start in center field pretty much every single day. They feel like his defense out there is better than sending him down to AAA to continue working on the things that he needs to work on. And you could argue that working with Kevin Long every day is better than working with the AAA coaches on this stuff every day. Now, it has been a struggle for Johan Rojas down in Clearwater. Coming into Monday, he's batting 170 with a 464 OPS. In his last 18 at-bats, he has four hits with a walk and two strikeouts. Not great. But the Phillies say that he is improving, even if the results aren't there. And that really, they just want him to see more pitches. They want him to see a lot of pitches. They want him to see 18 to 20 pitches a game in the nine hole and play elite defense. And they really feel like even if he can just see a lot of pitches, if he can drive up pitch counts a little bit from the nine hole, he doesn't even need to do a lot of damage in those spots as long as he's doing that, as long as he's having better at-bats, more competitive at-bats, where he's not chasing as much out of the strike zone. Maybe he's drawing a walk or two. He's getting a bunt hit or two a week. And when he does get on the bases, he becomes a little bit of a terror stealing bags and taking the extra base, scoring from first base on a double, scoring from second on a single, giving that kind of production. And then, again, playing the elite-level defense that we saw him play last year. And we've seen him play it this spring as well, tracking down fly balls, making life easier for Nick Castellanos in right field and Brandon Marsh and Whit Merrifield in left field. So with Johan Rojas making the team, with that question answered, that means there was one outfield job remaining with Whit Merrifield as a backup, and with Nick Castellanos, Johan Rojas, and Brandon Marsh as your three outfielders. That left one job to be had, and it looked like that was going to come down to Christian Pache and Jake Cave. However, on Sunday, the Phillies traded Jake Cave to the Rockies for cash considerations. Now, cash considerations, of course, not a player. Mr. Considerations does not play for the Rockies AAA affiliate. Nope, the Phillies just going to get some cash for Jake Cave, and that's fine. That means that Christian Pache will get the last outfield spot. Now, that also means that there is only one left-handed hitter off the bench to start the season, and that's the backup catcher, Garrett Stubbs. The other bench guys are Edmundo Sosa, Pache, and Merrifield. All those guys hit from the right side of the plate. Now, Merrifield's splits are pretty even between right-handed and left-handed pitching, so the Phillies feel pretty good about bringing Merrifield off the bench in a situation where maybe ordinarily you might have a left-hander. And there are going to be some days where Merrifield starts in left field instead of Brandon Marsh, and so Marsh would be a bat off the bench to swing left-handed. So it's going to be interesting to see how much Whit Merrifield plays here in the early going. He was probably the team's best hitter down in Clearwater. Now, that doesn't, again, mean diddly-poo in terms of who's going to be the better hitters when the team gets to the regular season schedule and they see regular season arms. And the Phillies want to make sure they're not playing Whit Merrifield too much. One of the reasons they feel like his numbers slumped so badly last year was because he was playing every day and got worn down. So you can be sure the Phillies are not going to use him in that way. But I will be interested to see what the playing time looks like between Brandon Marsh and Whit Merrifield, how much Whit Merrifield actually gets to start during the course of the season. But the Phillies could still make a move. They could still go out there and get a left-handed bat. It started to sound like maybe the Phillies were going to bring up Cody Clemens because he can play a bunch of different spots. He also had a very good spring. He had some positional flexibility. He could play infield. He could play some outfield. He can be a first baseman if Bryce Harper needs to sit for a few days. But the Phillies decided to send him down to AAA. But you can be sure that if they do need a left-handed bat, they could call up Cody Clemens. He's probably the first guy that they call because of the positional flexibility that he does present. And we'll see, as other teams send guys down to AAA or they need to make roster decisions on guys without any options, maybe there's a left-handed bat that wiggles free. David Dahl looks like will stay in the Phillies organization. He could also be a guy the Phillies call up. Dahl looked okay down in spring training. He could be a bench bat the team brings up. So they have some depth there. And, of course, they got Jordan Luplo off waivers after the Braves released him. He's a right-handed hitter, but also just does provide a little bit more flexibility in terms of guys you could bring up to play the outfield during the course of the season. But that's the way the offense is going to shake out. Jake Cave goes to Colorado. We don't have Jake Cave to beat around anymore. Jake Cave, who made the final out of the Phillies' 2023 season, is no longer here to be our whipping boy. He's no longer here for us to throw around and drag around like a rag doll. Jake Cave is someone else's issue now. And let's be honest, Jake Cave was not a bad player. He just wasn't a very good player. And you can't have a roster full of very good players unless you're the Dodgers and you're willing to pay $400 billion for your roster. And there are very few teams that can do that, like the Dodgers can do it. So the Phillies hopefully are starting to develop some players who you could use in these kinds of capacities, and that you don't need to go out and get the Jake Caves of the world. But I think everybody is feeling a little bit better without Jake Cave in a Phillies uniform. but for what he was, Jake Cave was fine. You need guys like Jake Cave on during a long 162-game season to hit 240 and hit a couple of home runs a month. That's what he's going to do at the major league level. He's going to rip apart AAA pitching and then come up to the majors and frustrate everybody. But the Phillies have a couple of guys like Cody Clemens, like David Dahl, who you can keep down in the minors. Jake Cave was out of options. You couldn't send him down to the minors again. They would have had to designate him for assignment, so they get some cash back instead of just designating him for assignment, which makes all the sense in the world. All right, now let's turn to the pitching staff. And the Phillies had a couple extra spots open up because of injuries. One of the guys we've been keeping an eye on this spring, because he hasn't looked good at all, and it did just seem like there was something going on there, Taijuan Walker indeed has something going on. He got a late start battling a knee issue, and then when he came back, the Phillies were trying to get him in games, but the velocity was down into the upper 80s and low 90s. Something didn't look right. He couldn't command the baseball. He's given up a ton of home runs. He didn't look good. He did not look good at all, did not look like a viable, serviceable major league starter. And during a bullpen session over the weekend, he continued to say, like, it's just something doesn't feel right. It's not hurting. He said he wasn't hurting. There was no pain, but just something wasn't right. The velocity wasn't there. And they took a look, and they found that Taijuan Walker has a shoulder impingement. This is not the first one of these that he has had. He had one before. It kept him out about 2 weeks. The Phillies believe that he should be out of the rotation probably for another 2 to 3 weeks. But because he didn't really get fully built up in spring training, my guess is that it will be about a month before we see Taijuan Walker in the starting rotation. Simply because first you got to get the velocity back, and then he's got to build up the arm strength to throw 80, 90 pitches in a game when he comes back. He's likely going to need to start a modified version of spring training again. So what does that mean for the rotation? Well, that means your new number 5 starter is Spencer Turnbull, and he will start game 6 for the Phillies because of a couple of off days and the desire to keep Zach Wheeler on a normal schedule. Zach Wheeler will start game 5 for the Phillies, and Spencer Turnbull will get game 6 for the Phillies. And I'm interested to see what Spencer Turnbull has. He looked pretty good in the spring. Again, before his arm started bothering him in Detroit after his no-hitter, he looked like a young rising star for Detroit. He looked like a guy who could potentially be an all-star for the Tigers. And then the injuries happened, and it pretty much submarined his 2021 and 2022-23 seasons. He really hasn't pitched consistently since then. And when a pitcher misses that much time, when he misses that much time due to injury, it's fair to wonder what he's going to look like coming back. But he's being put into a really no-stress situation. You're the number 5 starter on a team with a loaded offense, with a great bullpen. I don't know if you saw, MLB.com's rankings of bullpens throughout Major League Baseball has the Phillies at number 1. The number 1 bullpen in baseball. Your Philadelphia Phillies, according to MLB.com. So any of the concerns that we've had about this bullpen, not shared by the rest of the Major League Baseball community. So maybe that makes you feel a little bit better about the pitching staff heading into opening day. With Spencer Turnbull now in the starting rotation, that means there were... one other item. Orion Kerkering is going to start the season on the injured list. Of course, he's been battling a flu. He hasn't pitched in 3 weeks. He's starting to pitch again. He's starting to ramp up again, and likely will be able to rejoin the team after the first week of the season when the IL stint is done with. But he's not ready to start the season with the team. So with Spencer Turnbull starting in the starting rotation and Orion Kerkering starting the season on the injured list, you had 3 bullpen spots that were up for grabs. And of course, Roster flexibility, 40-man roster stuff, that definitely comes into play here. And that meant that Connor Brogdon, Luis Ortiz, and Junior Marte get the final 3 slots in the bullpen. Ortiz and Marte both looked very, very good this spring. Encouraging springs from them. If they can take their spring performances and bring them up north, it gives the Phillies 2 effective hard-throwing right-handers in the bullpen. And then there's Connor Brogdon, who, of course, was a big part of the 2022 bullpen. Not so much in 2023. Really struggled to get his his consistency together, spent most of the season with Lehigh Valley, but he is out of options. They couldn't send him down to AAA, and so rather than designate him for assignment and because they needed a third arm, Connor Brogdon will start the season on the opening day roster. Now, it'll be interesting to see how much Brogdon gets to pitch here in the opening week, whether he will be able to do enough to warrant staying on the big league roster once Orion Kerkering is ready to come back. My guess is that of those three guys, Brogdon would probably be the first to be let go. And I think the Phillies would be willing to designate him for assignment. My guess is he'd clear. And then that they would send him back down to AAA in Lehigh Valley and call him up later in the year if they needed to. And if some team did claim Connor Brogdon, okay, that's fine too. The Phillies have a lot of guys like Connor Brogdon that they could do, that they could bring up. Andrew Bilotti was sent back down to AAA. They could bring up Andrew Bilotti later in the offseason. And again, you have a trade deadline coming up later this summer that if there are any big issues with this bullpen, which I don't anticipate there being, you can go out and you can address those needs at the trade deadline as needed. But this is, according to MLB.com, the number one bullpen in Major League Baseball. Since how long have we been doing this podcast? Talking about this Phillies bullpen, the tire fire that was the Phillies bullpen, now we live in an age, we live in an era when a Phillies bullpen is the number one bullpen in Major League Baseball. Say it with me, friends. And as if to further illustrate my point, the Phillies went ahead and locked up for at least another year, if not two more years, a guy who I didn't think this was a good signing going into last offseason when they signed him to a two-year contract worth $15 million. Matt Strom gets a contract extension from the Phillies. And coming into this year, he was on the last year of his deal. He'll be signed through 2025 with a vesting option for 2026. Strom could have been pitching in the final year of his deal with free agency looming, but he said he wasn't interested in hitting free agency. He loves playing in Philadelphia. It fits his personality. It fits his style. Again, here's another player who didn't want to leave this clubhouse. He didn't want to leave this team. He didn't want to leave this city. He wanted to be able to pitch this year, knowing that this team is trying to get back to the World Series, and he didn't want to have to worry about taking care or babying his arm with free agency looming. He wants to give it his all. He wants to go 100 miles an hour this year. Maybe not throwing the baseball, but mentally, anyway. So I love that. I love that about this guy. I love the fact that he wants to go for it. He knows that this is a team that's World Series or bust. That's really the only acceptable outcome. The only way we're going to feel good about this season is if the Phillies get back to the World Series, and he didn't want to have to leave stuff on the table worried about free agency. So now he's guaranteed another $7.5 million in 2025. If he pitches at least 60 innings next year in 2025, then the final year, another year, vests for 2026. He's 32 years old, and I still believe out of this whole two-year run that the Phillies have been on, with all these different playoff games that they've pitched, he has one of the most underrated innings of any pitcher during these last 2 years. That Game 4, remember the situation he was brought into in Game 4 of the National League Division Series last year against the Braves. Phillies holding on to a 3-1 lead. But he has to come in with the bases loaded and nobody out, protecting a two-run lead. And he goes 1-2-3 against the Atlanta Braves and gets out of that jam and gets the Phillies on to the National League Championship Series. We don't talk enough about that inning. We don't talk enough about the job that he did in that spot. Huge inning from Matt Strom. And Matt Strom started off last year in the starting rotation. They had to force him to ramp up because of the injuries they had to start the regular season last year. And then they had to basically tell him, okay, now you got to ramp it back down. Very difficult assignment for Matt Strom last year in a Phillies uniform, and he did it very, very well. Pitched more high-leverage innings, especially as the year went along and in the postseason, and performed spectacularly there. So, again, this was a guy when they signed him last offseason. I was like, you're signing all these guys to one-year deals, and this is a guy you say you want to give 2 years to? Who the heck is Matt Strom? Well, I was proven wrong. This is why you take everything I say on this podcast with some degree of a grain of salt, right? Because we're all wrong sometimes, and I didn't think Matt Strom was a bad pitcher. I just never heard of him. I mean, I never really wasn't following him all that closely. Seemed like a weird guy to give 2 years to. Now I'm more than comfortable, more than happy to give him another year with a possible third year after that. Given what he's done. Now, people are talking about with Taiwan Walker hitting the injured list. Does this mean the Phillies might be more likely to go out and make a late push to sign Jordan Montgomery? According to Jim Bowden on MLB Network, as of late Sunday night, Montgomery already has two long-term offers on the table. USA Today's Bob, we don't know who those teams are. USA Today's Bob Nightingale says that it appears as though the Phillies are not among the teams to have made a long-term offer to him at this point, although he says it's not to say the Phillies don't have interest in the lefty. Nightingale says the Phillies are, quote, internally discussing a pursuit of Montgomery, although he adds a decision on whether or not to contact Scott Boras about a potential deal has not yet been made. Again, this is as of Sunday night, as we're recording this on Sunday night. Meanwhile, Todd Zielecki reported recently that the Phillies had previously shown interest in him on a one-year deal prior to the start of spring training, although Zielecki says the club's interest in him has cooled in the weeks since camp began. We've heard Dave Dombrowski saying that we like our pitching staff. Now, that was before Taiwan Walker's injury. However, at this point, Montgomery wouldn't, I don't think, be able to start the season with the team anyway. It might be a few weeks before Jordan Montgomery is ready to start the team. But if you're signing him to a contract now, it's likely a long-term deal. So you're doing it with the long-term in mind. You're not doing it to try and plug a hole right now. If your idea for signing Jordan Montgomery is to plug a hole right now, well, just let Spencer Turnbull get a crack at it early here in the season. We're talking about the number five starter. Now, if you think Jordan Montgomery, you want to sign him to a seven-year deal over $200 million because you want him to be your mid-rotation starter for the next few years, that's fine. But if the Phillies had wanted to do that, they would have already done it by now. So I don't think that Taiwan Walker's injury makes them more likely to get involved in a long-term contract with Jordan Montgomery. And here's the other thing that MLB Trade Rumors has noted. Montgomery would not be eligible for a qualifying offer this winter if he were to sign after opening day. Players do not want to be eligible for qualifying offers because it limits the teams that would be interested in them in free agency the following seasons. So there is really, unless he gets a multi-year deal before opening day, but unless he gets a multi-year deal, there's no reason for him to sign a one-year deal before opening day. Because if he signs a one-year deal, it means he's a free agent next year, and the team can offer him a qualifying offer, which will, again, limit. He didn't get a qualifying offer this last offseason, but it would limit what he could make next year. So you're basically looking at a situation where Montgomery will continue to look for a multi-year deal in these days leading up to opening day, and he won't consider a one-year deal until after opening day, until after he no longer could be made a qualifying offer this winter. Is everybody tracking that? There's no way he signs a one-year deal before opening day. He will only sign a multi-year deal before opening day. And I got to believe that Taiwan Walker's injury doesn't mean the Phillies are going to be more likely to throw 7 years at him if they weren't willing to do that before. Now, we don't really know. We don't know exactly what the Phillies were offering. We don't know what they were willing to do. But it does sound as though they were only willing to go on a short-term deal with Jordan Montgomery. And again, he's not signing a short-term deal before opening day because he does not want to be eligible for a qualifying offer next offseason. So that's what we're looking at in terms of Jordan Montgomery. I do not think Taiwan Walker's injury makes it any more likely that the Phillies go after Jordan Montgomery here in these days leading up to opening day. Now, if he doesn't get the long-term offer he's after, and he then becomes open to one-year deals without a qualifying offer, then I think you could see the Phillies get involved again and contact Scott Boras. But outside of that, I don't see that happening for the Phillies here during the course of these next couple of days. And I think the Phillies should just give Spencer Turnbull a couple of cracks at it here. Give him five or six starts while Taiwan Walker is out. There's no reason to hamstring yourself to a big contract at this stage of the spring, especially because Montgomery's not going to be able to do anything for you for a couple of weeks, I don't think. Nobody's come right out and said that, but he hasn't had a spring training. He's going to need to get some kind of live game action in before spring training. I'm sure he's building his arm up, but I feel like it's going to be a couple of weeks before Montgomery's ready to go. And in that case, well, then you've only got a week or two left before Taiwan Walker comes back. Now, I don't think Taiwan Walker is all that good. If you did want to sign Jordan Montgomery to a one-year deal and just say, to heck with Taiwan Walker, I'm fine with that. Spencer Turnbull for the first month, Jordan Montgomery after that, great. But that does not sound like the world the Phillies have been living in over the course of these last few weeks going into this. So I do not think the Phillies are going to be in the market for Jordan Montgomery because of the Taiwan Walker situation. But we'll see what happens here. All right. Like I mentioned, this is going to be just an appetizer podcast ahead of the big MLB preview podcast that Justin and Liz and I are going to record on Tuesday night. So look for that to hit your podcast feed inbox on Wednesday morning. And, we'll let you know exactly how we feel about the rest of all the division winners, the awards winners, and we'll give you our official Phillies takes on the 2024 season when we record on Tuesday night for you to listen to on Wednesday morning. But as for this episode of the podcast, that's going to do it for this edition of Hittin' Season. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. And again, we will talk to you in just about 48 hours or so on the next edition of Hittin' Season.